द फोर्थ सूत्र लिसन टू द सॉन्ग ऑफ लाइफ लुक फॉर इट एंड लिसन टू इट फर्स्ट इन योर ओन हार्ट एट फर्स्ट यू मे से इट इज नॉट देयर व्हेन आई सर्च आई फाइंड ओनली डिस्कार्ड लुक डीपर इफ अगेन यू आर डिसअपॉइंटेड पास एंड लुक डीपर अगेन There is a natural melody, an obscure fount in every human heart. It may be hidden over and utterly concealed and silenced, but it is there. Listen to the song of life. Life is a melody. Existence is musical. For so many reasons, because existence is harmony. It is not anarchy. It is not a chaos. It is a cosmos. It is a unity. So complex, so vast, but is still united. And life pulsates. From the lowest atom to the highest star. Wavelengths differ. Pulsations are of different frequencies. But the whole pulsates in a deep unity, in a harmony. Plotinus has called this music of the spheres. The whole existence is a music. In another sense also, it is musical. Yoga, Tantra, and all those schools who have been working esoterically for the inward journey of human consciousness say that life consists of sound. Existence consists of sound. Science differs, but not very much. Science says the basic particle of existence is electric, not sound. But science also says that sound is a mode of electric. A sort of electrical expression. Sound consists of electric atoms. Yoga says the basic element, the basic unit of existence is sound, and electric is a mode of sound. That's why we have the myth that through music fire can be created. Through music fire can be created. If fire is nothing but a combination of sound, then fire can be created. This difference of scientific attitude and yoga attitude is worth understanding. Why? Science says that sound is nothing but electricity, and yoga says electricity is nothing but sound. Because science approaches through matter and yoga approaches through life. The deeper you penetrate in yourself, the more and more you find a new world of sound and silence. When you reach to the innermost core of your being, you find a soundless sound. That's what Hindus have called nad. Anahat nad. Sound which is uncreated, which is your very life. It is not created by anything. It is not produced. It is there. It is cosmic. Om is the symbol of that sound. If you go deep within, when the ultimate core is reached, you hear Om. You don't produce it. It is there, vibrating. It is the basic element of life. This sutra says, listen to the song of life, but you cannot listen it unless you have heard already within your own heart. Because whatsoever you can see, it must be seen first within your own heart. Otherwise, you cannot see, you cannot hear. The basic experience must be the inner. Only then the outer can be experienced. Whatsoever we know in the outer world is nothing but a reflection or a projection. If you are filled with love, the whole life appears to be filled with love. If you are sitting with your beloved or with your lover, the whole existence is okay. Nothing is wrong. There is no misery. The whole existence is filled with a deep music, because you are filled with a deep music. There is no discord within you. Your heart feels a deep harmony with your beloved, or with your lover, or with your friend. You are so one, this oneness spreads all over. But if you are deep in agony, suffering, sad, depressed, the whole existence seems to be depressed. It is you, not the existence. The existence remains the same. Climates of your mind change. In one climate, the existence appears sad. In another climate, existence seems to be celebrating. It is not. Existence is always the same. You go on changing, and your mind goes on being projected. Existence works as a mirror, and you are mirrored in it. But if you think that whatsoever you interpret is a fact, not a projection, then you will move into deeper and deeper illusions. If you can understand that this is not a fact but a fiction of the mind, it depends on you, not on existence itself, then you can change. Then you can go through a mutation. You can have an inner revolution, because now it is up to you. The world can be a chaos if you are a chaos. The world can be a cosmos if you are a cosmos. The world can be dead if you are dead inwards. The world can be alive, abundantly alive, if you are alive within. So it depends on you. You are the world. You exist really, nothing else. Everything else is just a mirror. I remember one anecdote. One emperor, a very big, a very powerful emperor, created a palace of mirrors. All around, all over the palace, there were mirrors. And the emperor was a very beautiful person. And he was so infatuated about his own beauty that he was never in any way attracted to anyone else. He was a narcissus. He loved only himself. And he thought that everyone is ugly. So finally, he debarred everyone to enter his palace. He lived alone in his palace. and he looked at his face all over the palace. Everywhere there were mirrors, thousands and thousands, his own faces. But then by and by he got bored, fed up. He started disliking himself, because meeting the whole day, meeting himself, encountering himself, he became ill. He became very sad and very depressed. He became very dull. And he was just on the verge of death, just fed up with himself. Then suddenly he remembered, this palace is my own creation. I need not be here. There is no one forcing me to be here. So he broke one mirror wall, he threw a chair through it, and for the first time after years, the sky looked within. It was a full moon night, and the full moon peeped within, and a fresh world, new world, alive, he came in its contact. He jumped out of that hole. He was out of the prison. Now he was not dead, not dull, not on his death point. He was dancing. He was celebrating. He forgot his face, and it said he never looked in a mirror again. This is what is happening to each one of us. It is not an anecdote of some unknown emperor. It is about you. You live in a mirror house. When you look at your wife's face, it is not the real face that you see. It is projected. It is your own face reflected in the wife's face. When you look at a flower, it is not the flower you are looking at. It is your own mental flower projected on the real flower you are looking at. Everywhere you move with your own mirrors, with your own images. And then, of course, you are bored. Of course, you are fed up with the whole thing. And you say, life is misery. And you say, there seems to be no meaning. And you say, it is better to commit suicide. There seems to be no purpose, and I am going nowhere. Moving round and round in a circle, it leads nowhere. Every day is the same repetition. But it is not because of existence. It is because of you. Throw those mirrors. Break those mirrors. Come out of your palace, come out of your imprisonment, and look at the world, not through thoughts, not through moods. Look at the world with a naked eye, with a naked ear. Don't allow any mind, mental state to come within you and the world. This is what I call meditation, looking at the world without the mind. And then everything is new, fresh. Then everything is alive, eternally alive. Then everything is divine. But to come to this point, you will have to make a deep contact, a deep penetration within your own heart. Because there, life's juice is awaiting you. You may call it elixir. It is awaiting you. This sutra says, listen to the song of life, look for it, and listen to it first in your own heart. At first you may say, it is not there. When I search, I find only discard. Look deeper. If again you are disappointed, pause and look deeper again. There is a natural melody, an obscure fount in every human heart. It may be hidden over and utterly concealed and silenced, but it is there. When for the first time one tries to enter within, one encounters noise, crowds of thoughts, madness, anything but silence. But don't be disheartened. Be indifferent to all this noise which you encounter within. When I say be indifferent, I mean don't do anything about it. Just be indifferent. Don't say this is bad. Don't say how to stop it. Don't try to stop it. You cannot. Allow it to flow, just as if clouds are floating in the sky and you are watching. Or just as traffic is going on the street and you are watching. Just stand aside and watch the traffic moving on. Or just stand on the bank and look at the river flowing. Don't do anything. Just stand there, indifferent, not interested, not in any way involved. If you can do this, this is what witnessing is. If you can do this, by and by, you will penetrate more and more deeper. And don't be disheartened, because ultimately, finally, within you, a deep musical source, a deep harmony, a deep rhythmic existence is waiting. Penetrate this crowd and you will reach it. At the very base of your nature, you will find faith, hope, and love. He that chooses evil, refuses to look within himself, shuts his ears to the melody of his heart, as he blinds his eyes to the light of his soul. He does this because he finds it easier to live in desires, but underneath all life is the strong current that cannot be checked. The great waters are there in reality. Find them. At the very base of your nature, you will find faith, hope, and love. These three things, if you can make a contact with your inner music, these three things will flower spontaneously in you: faith, hope, and love. But these words mean very different meanings. They don't mean the ordinary things we mean by them. When we say faith, what we mean is belief. Belief is not faith. Belief means a forced thing. The doubt is hidden there, but you have enwrapped yourself into a belief and pushed the doubt within. For example, you say, I believe in God. What do you mean? Really, there is no doubt. The doubt is there. The belief cannot cancel the doubt. The belief can only hide it. Really, because of the doubt, you believe. You are afraid of the doubt. If you don't believe, if you are doubtful, you will feel inconvenient. Belief gives you convenience, comfort, solace, consolation. You feel at ease. But the belief is just a mental, intellectual facet. Behind it, the doubt is always lurking. Find out, with any belief, you will find within it doubt. And if you say, I believe strongly, that means you have a very strong doubt behind it. Those who say that we believe absolutely, they have absolute doubts within them. Because what is the need of belief? The need is because the doubt is there and you will feel inconvenient with the doubt. That's why so many people are theists and so few are atheists. But in reality, the world is filled with atheists, and to find a theist is very difficult. It is impossible. Just false. People say they believe in God because it seems difficult not to believe. Inconvenient socially, formally, it is good. Not that they believe, they doubt. They know they doubt, but they deceive themselves. Their life remains untouched by their beliefs. Their religion remains a Sunday religion. The life is not touched at all. On the Sunday, they will go to the church. They will pray as a social formality, as good manners. And then out of church, they are the same again. And for 6 days, they remain irreligious. And for one day, they become religious. Is it possible? 6 days, you remain ugly. And one day you become beautiful. 6 days you remain evil, and one day you become good. 6 days you remain evil, and one day suddenly you become saintly. Is it possible? It is impossible. The seventh day must be the false day. 6 days are the real. The seventh day is just a trick to deceive oneself and others. Belief is false. It is helpful, utilitarian, but untrue. Faith is totally different. Belief means doubt is hidden there. Faith means the doubt has disappeared. This is the difference. Faith means the doubt has disappeared. Belief means the doubt is there, and you have created a belief against it. You doubt whether God exists or not, but you say, I believe, because your wife is ill. And if you don't believe, who knows? God may be there. Your service is in danger. Who knows? God may help. And if you don't believe, then he will not help. Utilitarian. You have some utility. Doubt is there. Faith means doubt has disappeared. It is absence of doubt. But it can disappear only when you have known something within. When belief has not been given to you, it has arisen in you. When you have come to know, to realize, then faith arises. And hope. This hope is not that of desire. This hope doesn't mean hope for the future. This hope doesn't mean in any way any concern about the future. This hope means simply a hopeful attitude about everything. About everything. An optimistic view, a hopeful attitude, looking at the golden side of things. Whatsoever happens, you remain hopeful. You are not depressed, because depression comes only if you look at the wrong side of things. And everything has two sides, the wrong and the right. You can look at the wrong and then you will be depressed. And you can look at the right, the golden, and you will be happy. It depends. The person who is hopeless always looks what is wrong. The first finding is what is wrong. If I tell him that this man is a beautiful flute player, he will first look at him and say, no, I cannot believe that he can play flute because he is a thief. What is the concern? One man can be a thief and a good flute player. But he will deny, he will say, no, he cannot be. He is a thief, a well-known thief. How can he be a good flute player? This is the hopeless mind. With a mind which is filled with hope, if I say this man is a thief, he will say, but how he can be a thief? He is such a good flute player. How you look, with hope or with hopelessness? Ordinarily, unless you have touched the inner music, you will look at the world with a hopeless attitude. Then everything is wrong, and whatsoever is done is wrong, and from everywhere you will drive misery. You become an expert in being miserable. Then anything will help you to be miserable. Anything. When you touch this inner silence, this inner music, you become hopeful. You become hope. Whatsoever is you see, you always touch the innermost core of it, the heart of it. And there is no depression then. And love. Ordinarily, love is a relationship. But when you touch the innermost being, love becomes your state, not a relationship. It is not between you and someone else. Now, it is that you have become love. You have become loving. It is not relationship. Even if you are alone sitting under a tree, you will be loving. Lonely, alone, no one there, you will be loving. Just like a lonely flower on an unknown path, no one passes from there. But the flower goes on spreading its perfume. It is its state. It is not that when some king will pass, the flower will give its perfume. It is not that from some beggar will pass, the flower will not give its perfume. If a beggar passes, the flower gives its perfume. If a king passes, the flower gives its perfume. If no one passes, then too the flower goes on spreading its perfume. The perfume is the flower's very state of being. It is not a relationship. Our love is a relationship. And when love is a relationship, it creates misery. When love is a state of being, it creates bliss. A Buddha also is in love. But he is not trying to love you. Simply the way he is, love spreads. Love becomes a perfume and goes to far corners of the earth. These three qualities will evolve. Faith, hope, and love. And if these three are there, you don't need anything else. These three will lead you to the ultimate peak of life and existence. Know that it is certainly within yourself. Look for it there, and once having heard it, you will more readily recognize it around you. If you can feel your inner music, inner truth, inner faith, inner love, inner hope, you will start recognizing it around you. The whole universe will change for you. Because you have changed. And whatsoever you feel within now will be felt all around. The world remains the same. But when you change, everything changes. With you, your universe becomes different. If you are rooted in the divine, the whole existence is rooted in the divine. If you are rooted in the evil, the whole universe is a hell. It depends on you. It is you magnified.